Calling the meeting to order at 7:01. I'll be doing the invocation, and Ms. Shoemaker will be doing the flag salute. Dear Lord, be with us this evening as we make the decisions that affect the students in our district. And please be with all of the families that may be in hardship because of the economy. And look after all of us and keep us safe. In his name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mrs. Cullis?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Ms. Meany?
Here.
Mrs. Nesmith?
Here.
At this time, we were going to be having a report from ROP by Dr. Laurel Adler.
Would you prefer I stand there?
Yes, please.
So it's being recorded.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's not foolish.
Whoops. That's good. Sorry about that. First of all, I want to thank you for inviting us here this evening. We normally come about every year. I think we've missed last year for some reason, but normally we come to our school districts every year. This year we have an added little thing for you, which is we have sequenced all your courses from your high school into pathways, and Mrs. Crawford's going to be talking to you about that in a minute. We're not going to take much of your time. We're going to go through this in about 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll open it to questions, and we'll let you be on your way, we'll be on our way, so to speak. If you look at the green folder that I handed out to you, there's some information that's specific to West Covina Unified, and then some information on the left that is general information about all of the courses. And I think most of you are aware that East San Gabriel Valley ROP is a JPA school district. It's its own school district, which is turning out to be a wonderful thing. With the budget that just got adopted this week. So we are very lucky that we are not part of the county ROP and that the local control is with the local districts. We're very fortunate with that. So that's one thing we can tell you amidst all the kind of somber news. The good news is that because this is a locally run ROP with board members from each district, county did not take any of the money and the program to use as a flex to balance the LACO budget. So that's the first wonderful thing. It stays in our communities. The numbers that you have over here are interesting. You'll notice that it has that's a fairly large number of students at the bottom here, 2,322 within the district. There's some duplications because of multiple semesters, and it also does include adults, but it does give you an overall picture of the popularity of certain programs and just the distribution of your students. And what's nice about a joint powers ROP where the districts cooperate together, you'll notice that a couple of programs, you may have only 3 students enrolled. Well, if we were just relying on West Covina High School, that class wouldn't be offered, and those 3 students that might make the difference to them, all the difference in the world, would not be able to take some of those. So of special interest, you might take a look at the programs that have small enrollments, but those are unique opportunities for your students because of the fact that we join together and you're not having to produce all the students for any one program. So in addition to the ones that are huge and very popular, for example, like retail sales and others, there are ones that are very, very unique and you possibly could not afford, most likely, the bottom one being a good example, video production, which is a very expensive program. We were fortunate this year to get Prop 1D money to add to that. And so, but the fact that 7 districts participate, your 7 students are getting a world-class education they wouldn't have because you wouldn't be able to afford it with 7 students. Ethnic breakdown is interesting. Probably looks pretty close to your own to the community, pretty much so. When we run the ethnic breakdown of our schools, our students, it pretty much matches your district and pretty much matches the community as a whole. And so we have, because Ms. Lil Walker, our research specialist, loves pie charts, you have the same information this way and that way. But it's the same information, or it should be. On your left, you have three brochures. The first one is our high school brochure. This is the yellow one, and I'm not going to go through it with you. The only thing I would like to point out are the articulation agreements that we have with the local community colleges and other colleges in the area, including we have APU and Pacific Oaks. The one nice thing we can report, we did some research with all the cutbacks in the community colleges occurring right now, and they are going to be limiting enrollment, especially new enrollment. Students who take the programs that have articulation agreements with Mount San Antonio College get priority registration. So when they come from us, they are not considered a new student at SAC. They actually get priority registration as a continuing student and are issued a transcript from the program that they took with us with Mount SAC credit on it. So that's going to be, it didn't used to be the most important thing about these tech prep agreements, but now it's become extremely important because of the limits that the colleges are putting on. Your kids actually get to move up the ladder and be counted as continuing students at the college, even though they've actually never been there. The second green one is our post-secondary. We are also accredited to do an Associate of Applied Science. This is that one. And the blue one is our federal financial aid brochure. And just to let you know very quickly, we just went through a second form of accreditation in January. It's a completely separate one from FOL, our secondary program. It's post-secondary, and we received a full six-year accreditation on that. And that now we have a separate school number and to the other one. And this is the post-secondary division. And any of the students, your students who wish to continue after they graduate, can get, and if they are eligible, will be qualified for federal financial aid in our programs. It's a wonderful thing, particularly in this economy, to be able to do that. And that's also going to help our general budget within our own ROP in terms of adding that as a funding source. So we're thrilled to have that. And we're thrilled to have gotten 6 years at the outset. That was very difficult, and a lot of our staff had to do that. It was no one person. And so I'm going to introduce Ms. Crawford to you, who's going to talk about your the sequences of courses that you have internally within the school district and how also you can use our courses to fill the gaps, like I pointed out with you for video production, where you couldn't possibly do it yourself. And then after that, we'll take a few questions, and we'll leave you to the rest of your meeting.
Good evening. 2 years ago, Lonnie Hancock passed a bill that is called AB 2448 that became an integral part of the education code and redefined the role of ROP and allows us now to serve younger students and right down to the ninth grade. And in the process, because we're serving younger students, they asked us to please take a look at all state-funded courses and to record them for our school districts and for the state of California so that you would have an implement for guidance. And this is a renewable document that we are going to be working on with our faculty and your faculty and the community college faculty over the next 4 years, and then we'll be presenting a renewed document. I have two documents in my hand. One, this is is the full document, which I'm providing on CD, of all of our seven school districts and all the courses that we offer. We not only have articulated courses, but we have courses, we have over approximately 23 courses that meet the A to G requirement. So what is recorded here from middle school all the way up through the high schools is every ROP course, every course that you offer, every course you offer at your adult school, and every course that is offered as a continuum to grade 14. And because the most important information is that of your own district, we have created a separate document for each of you so that you can look back. But again, this full document is available within the binder on a CD. If you see a course that you don't offer at the moment that is something that is of interest to you, that you feel would be of interest and benefit to your students, then you will have that information available to you as well. So this is what it is. Thank you.
Any questions?
Jessica? Mike? Steve?
Just real quickly, why would a course on these articulation agreements, why would a course be accepted at SAC and not at Citrus or not at Rio Hondo?
That's the question of the century, and even it's a short century. These are agreements that are articulated faculty member to faculty member. And so every year they have to be renewed by faculty members. And so if you have a change in the department chair or something somewhere and they say, we don't want to articulate with you anymore, we can't do anything about it, the colleges pretty much call the shots on that. And so it becomes, for example, in our child development program, our director of child development meets with their child development people, and they work it out together. These agreements are really faculty member to faculty member, not college to college.
Perhaps you'd be happy to know that the colleges, that was a question posed to the state, and they are trying to create a better climate so that these articulation agreements are renewable and across several colleges. But the colleges themselves recognize the differences in articulating sideways to each other, and so it hasn't come to that yet.
Not yet. But so it's a lot of work. It's a tremendous amount of work. To do this every year, instructor by instructor. But it's worth it. It's really worth it. It makes huge differences for the kids. They start off with college credit already. And it's worth the effort. Mm-hmm. It'll make it easy, though. Any other questions?
No. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming out and giving us this information.
I'll take it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. There's nothing to report out from closed session. Is there anything that any board member would like to report at this time? The student board member report.
Okay. So recently our soccer team got first place league champions, and that is a really big victory because we haven't had that in a long while. And our wrestling team, this Saturday, five of our guys went to CIF, and four of them are advancing to masters, and the fifth one broke his ankle, so that's sad. Yeah. And then this Friday is our spring sports rally, where we are going to recognize all our winter sports achievements and successes they had this past season, and we're going to kick it off for a good luck for the spring sport this season. And next Saturday we have a mock SAT on campus, so all the juniors or whoever wants to take the test can practice. And next week is the end of our 6-week grading period.
Oh, that goes fast.
Very fast.
I have no blue cards in front of me. Is there anybody who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the organizational part of our meeting. We need to take off item number 6. Is there anything else somebody would like to take off? What, I'm sorry?
10.
Anything else? Would anyone like to add anything? Is there a motion to move as amended?
I'll move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That brings us to item number 3. I would like to nominate Doris Bloom from Glendora and Eileen Ochef from Azusa. From Azusa Unified.
I'll second those.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded.
We're not nominating them. We're actually voting for them, right?
Yes. I would, yes.
You would like to vote?
I would like to vote.
I'd like to second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes 5-0. Moves us on to item number 5. This information report about the CAC.
Okay. I'd like to call on Mrs. Pickett.
Board members, last Friday with your update, we sent two documents related to the Community Advisory Committee of the SELPA. One of them listed the possibilities of the Board of Education, and item number 5 related to the Community Advisory Committee. And then there was also a policy that went along with that. It's the SELPA's policy about the Community Advisory Committee. I'm sure you noticed, if you had a chance to read it, that it pretty much dealt with who are the members on the committee and what their responsibilities are. I know there was discussion about filling vacancies. There's really no information in the policy or in the body of the SELPA agreement related to term limits or filling vacancies or anything of that nature.
Mike, you're the one who requested this. Do you have any questions or?
Well, there should be a time period at least where we review who's on it and give others the opportunity to serve on it. And I don't know what that time period is, but we should have some kind of review at some point of who's on it and what the status is and those kinds of things, because we don't have that, where they say, oh, so-and-so doesn't go anymore, or, you know what I mean? We don't have a regular review of this particular committee scheduled, to my knowledge. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, so I think we need at least at a minimum do that.
Well, I had a comment. I don't necessarily agree with us commenting on what staff may have. In my understanding, they do look at the people that are involved and do have some sort of process to make sure that we're filled and meeting our needs. It isn't just sit in there and show up all the time.
I would just like to add that my understanding of the position, it is not a board representative per se. This is a position where it's a parent representative for our district, and the way this is worded in every district in our SELPA the same exact way. So if for example, the board wanted to review, we could, of course, bring it at the board's request. But the way I understand it, talking to the SELPA director, is that basically the review comes when there's a vacancy, unless someone is not showing up to the meetings or there's an issue with a person getting to the meetings. But they are open to us asking parents out there if they're interested in participating. They've recommended that, parents be told of their duties and so on and so forth before accepting the responsibility. But I'm open to whatever the district would like to do. The same thing happened when we brought forward the Edison name. It's a person that will now be there until she's no longer there, unless she doesn't attend or somebody's unhappy with her performance.
Well, if that's the case, why? I mean, we've had reviews of this before, and the board has made votes on it.
I don't know
what that was to fill the positions.
What I'm hearing is that's not even how we should have gone about that.
They need to be board appointed when there's a vacancy.
Board
so
approved.
When there's been a vacancy, a name's been brought before us
for approval, and it's gone through a process. It isn't just somebody shows up
well,
in
it's
the door.
It's gone through. Some could say it's gone through a process.
Yeah, it's gone through a process. I am satisfied it's gone through a process, and I'm satisfied. Yeah. There's an ongoing review of the competence and expertise of the people that are involved. So I don't know if you want to remove somebody or go there, but it's not a haphazard lay, let's plan something and put somebody up front.
I'm sorry, George.
So I've been satisfied. I've been satisfied with the process. I've seen the process in place. I've known that there's constant review of and conversations with the people that are representative, and it's not board approved. Appointed. It is board approved. If they want to come up with some sort of appointment process, I think there ought to be official notification, a time frame when it's going to be coming up on a regular basis, and not just, I'm not happy with the way one thing went, so I'm going to come back with something else. It's should be a methodology to it if that's what we want to do. But to
I think
me,
it would
it's worked.
I finished my questions about the process and how it works. But I'm still a little confused on, okay, so then who actually makes the appointment that the board approves
the
when there's a vacancy?
The superintendent is supposed to, my understanding is, because I haven't done it since I've been here, but the superintendent is supposed to go to that community of parents and say, we need someone from West Covina to represent us at the CAC. Mm-hmm. Are you interested? This would be your duties. This is what you do, et cetera, et cetera. And then we take from a pool of people interested, and we would bring a name forward to the board.
Okay, so that's how we think the process works.
That's how I think it works.
Past practice in most of the districts, how it's happened is it's an the meetings are open to the public. People go, they show an interest, and then it's like, wow, you represent Baldwin Park. You know, they have an opening. We would love for you to be part of that. People can go to those meetings on a regular basis. They may not be voting members. I appreciate the representatives from, I'm an alternate, so, but the other two regularly show up to the meetings where it's very rare to have two people from every district, and that we normally have three. So we're very well represented at those meetings. What would be nice, since these people have served for a number of years, is actually giving them a certificate for an appreciation for what they've done. And if there's other, if you know of people who are interested, I'm willing, I'll still go to the meetings, but if they might want to start out as an alternate, but before that, if people know of names, I would love to, you know, carpool with them there, sit with them, because sometimes it's difficult to go in a meeting and so we could sit together, we could talk about what's happening through the meeting, and then if they're interested, I would, you know, love to mentor them, and we can, and I can give them the spot as alternate, and soon there may be another, and they may, you know, be a regular, and another alternate would come up, but I'm definitely willing to have somebody step into that position. You can learn a lot at those meetings. So if there's somebody interested.
Well, I'm not sure we're quite at that position. From what I'm understanding is when somebody is approved by the board to this committee, it's not like the ROP board where every 2 years you have to confirm
the
position.
Right.
And past practice has been if there's an issue not going to meetings or if they resign, that's when it comes back to us.
And Steve.
Yeah. Where you asked him, sorry.
Go ahead.
So basically it's a, you know, it's a, I guess it's a voluntary thing, and Cammie, you're right, I would think that anybody who has been involved ought to be recognized for the volunteer. But I gather then from what I'm hearing is, in effect, it's once you volunteered and until you decide not to participate, it's a lifelong commitment. There's no means of giving somebody who, you know, would have an interest or, you know, in wanting to be part of it or be involved, other than what you said, and I appreciate what you said, that if they want to tag along and be involved, if they want to attend board meetings and ultimately to be on a board of education, that's the way all of us started with being on the board of education. So in that capacity, certainly that's the way to do it. But
it's typically
if you don't resign, you're the community member ad infinitum.
This is not a problem. In the only district that I've ever even heard people say, well, there's a line of people who want to be on CAC. So that's why it's not addressed, because it's not a problem. Mm. You know, people like to go to the community meetings, but they don't like to go to the regular board meetings. So
I've been on this board for 15 years, and I agree, I don't, you know, I've never seen a line, I've never heard this come up, but I also have known that the issues that are involved with special education have intensified so greatly in the last 2 to 3 years in this district in specific that, you know, I can't believe that there are not those that are in, you know, just starting out. I'm a younger person with young children who've been identified with special needs need to be involved. May not want to be, but need to be involved and become more and more involved the older they get.
You can't twist their arm and make them
be
involved.
But
you can encourage them.
Wouldn't you agree, though, that I've seen it from over...
That's why I say a mentor.
That when somebody is coming in and their child has been assessed in this capacity, all of a sudden they become incredible experts at it, as our board is so adeptly represented in that capacity.
I'm more...
And we're very, very fortunate for having that.
I'd be ecstatic if somebody was interested. So if you... If
I could comment, there... a myriad of ways of becoming involved in special education, and most parents will focus in on where their disability is. Attending a CAC session is very commendable and everything, but on a time frame of a limited amount for a parent, a lot of them trust what's going on with the SELPA as it is and would rather be in other areas.
Yeah.
So it's a development process all the way across.
Well,
we had parents, community members express an interest in joining this committee? I mean, is this an issue of people lined up around the block to be on this committee? Because...
Well, you know, to me, the question is, it's really a matter of fairness. And that is, you know, there's been a couple politically...
Well, I would like my question answered first.
Well, I thought it had been answered earlier by the people saying there were no lines. Well, but I apologize. I'll let the answer be repeated.
I'm not sure who we're asking.
Well, since I've been here, I have had no one interested. And I'll tell you, it is difficult, okay, to get a commitment of a person that's willing to go to the meetings on things that don't particularly directly affect their student. You have to be interested in more than just your child's education and their needs. And so what happens is you get people who want to see a bigger picture and who are interested in giving of their time to do that. Now, this is different from other committees, okay? We have our local committees here, and I think I've shared with the board that I tend to see the same parents over and over. And for the past few years, I've been trying to recruit new people to our meetings so that there's, you know, more understanding, deepening understanding, and more partnerships. And it's difficult to consistently get that. Now, in this particular situation, I would say to you that if the board wanted us to go out and try to recruit, if the board majority said, you know what, everything's great, we've had great people there, you know, go out and recruit, I would like to, at that point, you know, say to you, well, that's different than what's been done. Okay, that's not what districts do, but it's not that it can't be done or it's not allowed. It is allowed. But I would also argue that programs and things that are being discussed happen from the school year to the beginning of the school year to the end of the school year, in terms of what they're discussing there, according to our SELPA director who is at those meetings and who participates. So her thing was, you know, we want consistency. We want people who are interested in being here. And I asked her if she knew anybody from West Covina that attends the meetings to be part of the audience, to learn to be a part of it. And did she know someone? No. I went to Cheryl. I said, Cheryl, do you have anybody that has wanted or said that they're interested? No. Now, that doesn't mean if you say to me, go find somebody and beg somebody, I will. Okay, I will do that. But we have, as Cammie said, two people there. She's an alternate, and we have people there who are keeping our interest, and they're I believe, representing us well. Now, that doesn't mean that there can't be a change.
Each special education parent receives a folder from the SELPA. In that folder is a pamphlet about CAC, and it says, if you are interested, here's the number to call. So each parent in our district has received that with the folder inside, and from what I'm hearing, not one person has called and said, wow, that's for me.
No.
So it is, the information's out there, and the folder's in the pamphlet, and like I said, most districts are just looking to have their two reps. So I appreciate our two that go on a regular basis and represent our district, and they should be acknowledged in some way.
Which doesn't happen.
Right. So, but now that it's come up, that it, I really think it's been an oversight because
okay.
they put in a lot of time to do that. But the parents of special education children are notified through that pamphlet, and the and a lot of times if there's a parent that's very active and you're looking for an appointment in their child's IEP, sometimes they're asked if they're interested, at least to go to the meetings. But
anyway,
is there any further
I don't think there's anyone here that will say that the people that represent us on there have done a poor job or anything like that. I don't think that's an issue. I think it's really, a question of fairness and a question of access. Because as a board, especially the last few years, we have spent a higher percentage of time dealing with special education in the boardroom and in the even today in the closed session than we do on our other programs compared to population-wise. And so I have to think that there's a lot of interest by folks, but I think they may be intimidated or haven't read the line in the pamphlet that talks about the CAC or really know how they could be involved in it. I know many times when we talk about these issues, we talk about how parents don't have enough information about all the things they can do. And, to leave it up to one pamphlet, I don't think really allows the kind of access and fairness that, I just have a hard time believing there's not one other parent that's been interested in, I don't know how many years, of being involved in it. I think it's an issue of they don't know how to do it. We don't have a process. We already know that.
We shouldn't say we don't have a process.
We do have.
I just said that we sent something out to them every year.
You sent out the pamphlet, but there's no process. There's no regular, this is when you apply to be on it. It's not like school site council where you'd say, okay, now's the time to figure out who wants to be on school site council, or this is the time that we're going to be on this, advisory committee. So it's much different than we treat all those. And, I understand, there's some people that are very connected in the system and understand how it works. And I think, that maybe new blood's needed, but obviously, there's probably a lot of opposition to that from those that, don't want to change everything. But I don't know why we can't give more information or at least have some kind of process so people know how they actually do it, not that they show up a meeting and then get recruited by somebody or read a line in a pamphlet. But that's what I have to say.
What worries me
really
is if we put in a process that we're going to end up with nobody representing us.
Well, I'm not willing to do that.
So, but it sounds like that's what if there's a rotation, I would hate to lose the people we have. Because they said, oh, well, someone's going to fill my spot. Most likely those spots are going to be empty because our 11 school districts, I would say 8 of them don't have two reps.
Okay, but that's not what I'm advocating. I'm advocating saying, like, hey, school year's coming up this year. If you want to be involved on CAC, let us know. And, and then if there's someone that's interested, we can check with the board members about training them or allowing them to have access to knowledge about it, things like that on a regular basis, rather than, the current system seems kind of haphazard. If someone dies, moves, decides not to go, then we start looking for somebody. But it just seems like there's a lot of parents, that based on the amount of time we spend on it here at the board that would be interested in looking at it, but I don't think we have any mechanism to allow that. I'm saying that, when they go to a CAC meeting, they see people that are experts that have been on the committee 10, 12, 15 years. It's kind of intimidating to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go take that over. I'm new. I've only been involved in special education a year. They know so much more than me. And I think that's just kind of limiting and I just wish we had a process that was more open and more fair and allowed more access to others.
So, next item.
But I don't hear support for that.
Like I said, there could be an opening today, Mike. So if you have somebody who is interested.
I don't have somebody, but okay. I'm just saying that we don't do anything to find anybody.
Except
the pamphlet line.
That we do the.
Well, I'm not going to let you say that. I'm not going to let you say that. Well, we do go out and say that. So
and there's not one parent that's willing to do it.
Right. You know,
okay,
I.
Give me the materials. Give me the
Mike,
materials.
Mike, I don't know, but I'm not going to let you say that this staff and this board and people in special education don't allow to do it. I'm not going to let you say that.
Okay, excuse me, only one at a time. Madam Chair. Madam Chair, can I say something? Can I say something?
Lily
has the floor.
The reason I asked for the floor is I think in speaking to the SELPA director, there's a reason why it's the superintendent that brings the name to the board. And the reason that the superintendent brings the name to the board is to protect the program from politics and to make sure that the person who is selected to represent us at a CAC is a person who the district is working with in terms of their interest and their ability to articulate what's going on that committee. If West Covina, out of the different people that are there, created a search process because of somebody's need to have a change, then, you know, I need to know what's the goal of that. Mm-hmm. Because in all honesty, there are differences between a board-appointed representative to something that the board does, and a difference from a program parent that I recommend, and then there's the whole PTA and all of those others. So there's different committees. All I'm saying to you is that if we're going to make changes in any venue that has to do, other than those appointed that you select, if it has to do with people that I need to bring forward to you and you have a name, I want to work with that person. So if any of you, you know, have a person that you've talked to that's interested, I'm interested in talking to that person. But I would say that the change needs to be made because of some kind of contribution to our program, our district, and our representative. That's the purpose of it. Other than that, to make a change, just to make a change, doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, well, it does it if it's a matter of fairness. But I do have a question and a point of information, which is, what is, Cammy said she's the alternate, but in the back of material doesn't say who the two reps are. Who are they?
Mrs. Fuller and
Cynthia Esquivel.
Cynthia Esquivel. Mm-hmm. And Cynthia, you know, is on a number, and I think I've shared this with the board. One of my concerns about parent meetings is that we have a dedicated group. One of the benefits of being the superintendent of West Covina is you get to know our parents. And there's a dedicated group that comes regularly and that show interest and that show support. And that benefits us. That continuity benefits us. It's something that I believe has kept our district program's strength. Now, having said that, I'm sure if you went to Cynthia Esquivel and said, you know, is there another person at your school that you want to work with to transition or something, she'd probably tell you the story that she's told me, and that is, I can't consistently get someone to attend. I can get people to attend now and then, but we don't have a lot of folks being consistent. And so I don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot. I do understand that you're interested in sort of sharing experiences and getting people to have those broad experiences, but it needs to be done in a manner which contribute to the benefit of the program in this district.
And I don't disagree with that.
Is there any more comments, questions? Okay. If there's any names, they will go to Lily.
Well, actually, my understanding is we're not to be doing that until there's a vacancy of some kind.
She didn't say that.
Lily said if you had a name.
Oh, and then they'll be vetted and then we'll see.
No, and I will continue to work with the special ed department, with Jan's office, with everybody, to make sure that parents who have a genuine interest in looking out for the program in the best interest of the students of this district, that they get opportunities. And I would be more than happy if somebody made that commitment to bring them to you.
Item number 6. Lily, there were some changes to...
On the personnel report, I'm sorry to bring you, there's a couple of changes. As you know, the board approved us allowing some of our teachers who, because of their temporary status or their non-reelect status, they had an ability to resign. And because Mrs. Kaufman wanted to be nice to them, she allowed a couple of changes at the last minute, and so you have before you a few changes, and Ms. Kaufman can tell you what they are.
Well, we have the list, right?
You do. One of the teachers who was a non-reelect chose to resign when she realized how damaging to her career a non-reelect is, so she chose to resign. Another teacher who we thought we had the resignation from chose not to turn it in. So those are the two changes you have in front of you.
Just one question.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes, on the separations on that same page 6B, when I look at these four resignations of people that are named, I'm just seeing people that have decided to move on, period.
Yes, they will move on.
They, on their own,
yes.
decided to
yes.
move on yes. for whatever reason.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct. Is there a motion on this item?
I'll move.
A second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. Item number 8, the calendar.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mrs. Kaufman and Mr. Seaman to please address the issue of number 8 and 9.
Well, she's going to ask a question.
Sure.
Why are these separate items?
Can you Mr. Seaman, would you like to answer, since you answered that very same question for me?
The calendar and the holiday schedule are actually two different items.
Well, I can see that, but I'm asking why they're two different items.
The holidays and the non-holiday student calendar and the holiday schedule
okay.
are
employees.
Classified personnel.
Okay.
And to others. Correct.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, it was brought to my attention earlier today by a board member that perhaps the process that we used to go through the calendars was probably not one that we should have used. And let me explain, we thought that if we went through and received input from our stakeholders and then brought it to the board, this is what we thought was going to be an acceptable process. And it comes to find out next year we will certainly change the process and bring to you earlier several different calendars so that you could have your input on, and then we would then bring it to the stakeholders. And we are certainly willing to do this. We did not do this with any kind of, you know, intent that this was going to be the wrong thing. We are going to have in front of you three different calendars. The first calendar that you have that we discussed, and the parent people who were involved in this process, where we had a group of people from the union, we had teachers, we had principals, we had CSEA, and we also had PTA input. So we had several different groups that did add their input to this. Because we had a new calendar last year, where we had started a week early, we have the same beginning, approximately the same approximate date of starting and the same approximate date of ending this year. The difference in the first calendar that you have in front of you is a calendar where at Thanksgiving there was 1 week that we all would have off. The 23rd, 24th, and 25th would be unassigned days. We also had the end of the first semester being on January 21st, and we had two holidays, Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday. We had them on the 15th and the 22nd. After we spoke a lot to CSEA, it was decided that because classified employees would not be receiving a full paycheck at a time when it was very crucial to them around Thanksgiving and Christmas, they did not like this calendar. They had not accrued enough vacation time at that time to be able to take days off and be paid. Even though they got the same number of days in the year, the actual paycheck at that time is not as large. So after much conversation, we decided this was
we decided their input was that this was not a calendar that they liked. The second calendar, the only difference is it has the same beginning date, the same ending date. Is the first semester ended also on January 21st, and the two dates that were changed was February 8th and February 15th. This was having the President's Day and having Washington's birthday, Lincoln's birthday, having them earlier. The third calendar, and people thought that was okay, but the calendar that they chose was the calendar, the third calendar that you have. This is where first semester ends on January 14th, and we have the 15th and the 22nd as the two President's Day. This is the one that I'd like to bring forward to have you vote on as one that we would like to have for our next school year. Again, next year the process will be different. We will make sure that we do this in a more collaborative manner.
Collaborative.
Anybody have any questions? Yes.
George?
We collaborate with who?
One of the, if I may,
sure.
One of the issues that we have, as you know, all stakeholder groups obviously want to have input into the calendar. And when you get into that committee, you see that, for example, from a teaching standpoint and an instructional standpoint, the high school always would like for us to finish the first semester in December rather than going to January. They would prefer that. They would like us either to start school earlier to get more days of instruction before the second semester and before the testing comes on them second semester really quick. But then you have classified in the room that basically feel like some of them cannot work their own vacation and duties and responsibilities that they have, whether it be budget or maintenance or operation, during that time. So one of the benefits of having those debates, in my opinion, is to be able to inform you. I think what Mary's trying to say is, there's another way of doing it that is also, I think, appropriate, and that would be for us to come to you first, because we get tons of these calendars from the county. In fact, the most recent one changed the President's Day and the Washington Day to a Friday and a Monday, where the original one didn't have that. Okay? Now, what I'm saying to you is we could come to you and present multiple of calendars and sort of give you input from our own perspective, and then you may narrow it down to two, you may narrow it down to three, you know, you could narrow it down as a board, and then we go back out to the stakeholders and say, you know, give us your input on this, and then we come back to you for actual approval. Whereas today, we're giving you the information but asking for the action at the same time. So we could, in the future, say, okay, let's allow more time for board discussion and board input before we actually ask board for action.
Well, I had a couple more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would hate to try to do this at the board table. But myself, we started when this year?
Approximately the same time. It might have been August
25th. Why are we starting at the same time this year? Because of this?
We like starting the calendar earlier. In fact, we're working with the high school for the fall next year to even start it perhaps a week earlier. So we could end first semester at Christmas. Just before they went to Hollywood.
Why didn't we do it this year?
Because when we changed this calendar last year,
calendar,
as you recall, we did it very late in the year.
So
and we
so
promised
stuff,
parents that we would try to keep the calendar the same as it was this year, as close as we could. And we
committee.
Would then
it's
give them a
classic.
Chance, because many people had to make
vacations.
Changes
mm-hmm.
at the very end. And we thought that this year we would try to keep it the same, and then next year maybe move it up a little bit more.
Okay, and then on one, I guess, what I have, the top calendar and the second one down have professional development on the 22nd, which I'm assuming means that on January 22nd, which I'm assuming means the semester ends January 21st, and on the third one is January 15th.
Right, and that's because there's testing, and that we made the first semester a little bit shorter. There is an uneven number of weeks, so we made first semester a little bit shorter because there is a week of testing in second semester. So that would kind of equalize it. And we did this with a lot of input from the high school.
Okay, and again, if you want to pass, I would hate to try to put this all together at the board table, but my view.
Mr. Cox?
God, I'm getting old and I can forget these things, but is this a negotiable item?
No.
No.
No, it's not in our not in our contract anymore.
Let me try. In our contracts, any position that any bargaining unit take on this is advisory. Therefore, it's not a negotiable. The board can decide to disregard altogether all stakeholder groups, any stakeholder groups. It is not a decision that we have to convince them. They have, over the past few years in West Covina, gone out and talked to their membership and sort of canvassed them and come up with, this is what we prefer, but it is not a negotiable item.
Yeah.
And we don't want them to think it is.
Yeah, the only reason I remember that, I can remember a long, long time ago, it used to be an issue when the contract hadn't been completed, that the issue was, well, if we don't have a contract, we don't know when to start school, because that was part of the negotiations. Now things may have evolved, and to what you say it is. And I certainly accept that. You know, you mentioned something that, it just really puzzles me a lot. And as much as, there's a whole lot of this stuff that I absolutely don't agree with. I don't agree with starting in August. I'm the traditionalist, want to start the day after Labor Day and all that stuff. But the superintendent...
That's part of being old. You can't change.
And then there's ancient...
But you explained it to me, and I didn't quite understand that this issue of moving these days ahead and giving us the most opportune time
for instruction
to start in that... It's two things. Number one, you made some agreement with the parents that we wouldn't change, but we changed.
It's not a binding agreement.
Again, it's not relevant. What's relevant is what's best for their kids, and we know what's best for their kids. And George, I'm elected to make sure that I do know what's best for their kids. Now, if moving it forward and giving them more time in front of their teacher is good, then I think that's a good thing. I don't have a problem with even taking it earlier than that up to. When are we starting? On
August 20th.
On the 20th? I'm taking it even a week before. What I'm concerned, I guess, the bottom line for this long and drawn out conversation is that these three days before Thanksgiving, I don't know what impact we've had on ADA with kids leaving in that period of time, that, the shortened week gives
us
sort
of... We actually did a little bit of a study, and we have found that before vacation, we really didn't have a great absence problem.
Okay. Except with teachers.
Yeah.
Actually, last year, we actually did that study as well, and there were not that many.
It didn't go down
teachers.
To 50 or 60.
Oh, but I would like to, at some point in time, for future reference, deal with this issue about giving that entire week of Thanksgiving off. Mm-hmm. And moving in that aspect, and your issue with the fact that, well, CSEA employees don't know how to budget their money and can't deal with a smaller check in a period of time,
get used to it, I know that.
Yeah, that's just not an issue. That's not an issue. That's just, you deal with it, you move on, and you pay your bills a week later, or 2 weeks later, do whatever you got to do, but... But I would like to be part of the process.
Now, you could at this point also, and let's just make this clear, even though there is an action item tonight, you could pull this and you could make the changes that you want to make. I'm not opposed to doing that if that's the wishes of the board. There's no commitment.
As much as I absolutely appreciate all of the work and hard work that you've done into it and making the presentation to the other stakeholders involved, we'd maybe like to have some input before that goes to them.
You do today.
That's too late. Then you'd have to reconvene that whole committee.
There's such sincerity, and I wish I could have more input. I don't care that they don't have enough money to get a check, but I wish I could have more input. Didn't I just hear that, Mr. Sensitivity? I wish I could have more input, but you know, who cares? They're going to have to manage their money, but who cares what they say? They're only advisory. So look, here's the bottom line. Everybody can have an opinion.
Mr. Cox,
you are such a giver.
Shoemaker.
The only concern I have with this third calendar is by moving the end of the semester up a week, what you've effectively done is you have a week before you head straight into semester finals.
Where's that?
You're coming back from vacation.
Yeah, coming back from winter break. You have a full week, and then the week after that would be finals.
Plan to classify.
You know what? They seem to think that that was going to work better for them for the high school.
Really?
And so you spend,
why?
What, 2 weeks studying? Is that it?
Or that would be their brains back from the break and refreshing leading into the finals.
Right. You give them a week of, you know, getting ready, then you take the finals.
I think this goes back to what Mr. Fuller mentioned earlier, and that is you can canvas this entire district and get 1,000 different points of views about...
And that's why it's really good that ultimately it's the five of us that are going to vote on this, and so that's why I'm concerned about the fact that we have finals a week after coming
this
back
from the
school.
This was the high school's choice.
Yeah, and you can change it. Absolutely.
Was it their choice to do this and not start earlier, or was it their preference to start the 5 days earlier?
It depends which group you ask.
Exactly. The high school was very much they like to start earlier. The elementary schools, everybody is wondering why we're not in September.
And the parents would like it not any earlier. Those on the committee.
I was hearing is the reason it was moved the week forward was just sort of to even out the fact that there's the week of testing in the second semester. So in terms of the actual campus and the breakup,
the reason
it
that
wouldn't
we
be a huge difference to put it back on the 22nd.
Right.
Correct.
That was my only concern.
Mike, Mr. Spence.
I'm kind of curious about one thing, and actually all these versions of the calendar have them, but we're taking spring break before Easter.
Yes.
Into that, which I don't have a problem with. Mm-hmm. But there was a time, we've gone back and forth over the years here, that like the union was adamant, for some unknown reason, that we take it afterwards. And there was some issue that dealt with, there was also some issue that dealt with sports and different CIM sports.
It didn't seem to be an issue this last year, but this is the same calendar. They told one of the...
Because I agree with it. I mean, going up to Easter is much easier to deal with as a parent than after Easter. You
know? One of the things, as I recall, was the issue of Good Friday.
Well, Good Friday, I mean, yeah, we lose.
We just lose
many teachers.
So if they're going to... Yeah.
That was a board request, Good Friday.
Well, right, it was. Back when we had input into the calendar before, you know, we just got it at the end.
Isn't there a religious section on Good Friday? Don't we try to accommodate different religions?
We have off Good Friday, obviously, on this calendar. We were told when we had it the week after Easter that Monday was a terrible, the Monday after Easter was terrible, and we watched it this year for attendance, and it was not any more significant than any other Monday.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, I understand that at this point we could change the calendar and send it back to the stakeholders. I also think, though, that that becomes problematic. From a standpoint of dealing with stakeholders and input into it. So, I mean, I like Ms. Shoemaker and Mr. Cox agree that the board should have some input into the process and not necessarily abdicate our responsibilities on this particular issue. I do have the concern about I voted against the first calendar we did that had the early start date, partially because it was so late to notice people that had assumed we would have vacations during that time period. And I'm kind of curious, what was the impact of that? Do we know with our attendance, was it down and then we grew, or what happened?
For teachers, there were only 3 teachers who were affected, even though at the beginning it sounded like there would be more. It was only 3.
They found a way to figure it out or something.
Yes, they all
found
a way.
What about parents, kids?
Same thing.
You might be able to answer that better.
It was the same thing.
Yeah.
So maybe if we make a decision like that, it doesn't impact people as much as we think it does. Maybe we could apply that to the classified and the paycheck issue that we should do what?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't have a problem accommodating employees as much as we can, but our priority should be what's good for the students first and then how the employee stuff fits around that. And I understand there may be some budgeting issues, and maybe we can have Mr. Cox give a seminar on, you know,
because I'm a giver.
I know.
How to do that. And, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, if they had graduated from a school that had an economics course, they would know some things about that ahead of time. But, you know, I think there's ways that we can get around that without, you know, if something was good for kids, that should be the first priority. And then,
exactly.
Then we deal with how the employee stuff and stakeholders deal with it.
Let me just tell you that I have done this a long time.
Oh. And there's no good way.
I'm very old, and I've gone through these debates.
Oh, yeah.
For a very long time. And I will tell you that at the end of the day, you can't prove much difference when you start, when you end. Okay?
Well,
you can't, there is no strong data. If there was, I'd be the first telling those stakeholders and you that this is the calendar that's going to make all the difference. Okay? So outside of that kind of research and data that says that, okay, we need to do what I think is in the best interest of everybody, including our employees,
but
not just our kids,
we do have
but
data on
everybody.
Absenteeism, though. I mean, because at one point when we were looking at holidays a few years ago, we had, you know, it wasn't this problem with kids. Kids would drop a little bit, but then we did have employee absenteeism problems.
Right. And when we came here, we said to those employees, if you're absent before a holiday, if you have a pattern of things, you're going to bring the doctor's notes. We have stopped some of the bad habits by just making sure there's an accountability in place. But coming from a district that had Jewish holidays, Catholic holidays, and all of that, it was an issue.
Mr. Spence.
There's one other thing in here. It says the district office and schools will be closed like the 28th to the 3rd.
Yes.
You know, so does that mean all our offices are going to be closed, no one's going to be working, all that kind of stuff?
Correct.
Yes.
So why are we only doing it for that 1 week and not earlier, like the 23rd? I have a hard time believing someone's coming in here on the 24th and working all that.
Yeah, when we don't have when there isn't a holiday on the 24th, that week is used to do some of the cleaning that needs to be done mid-year when students aren't here. The budget office and payroll office gets everything in place. We have told our employees this year that should they not pick up their checks at the school, if the holiday falls, they are going to have to wait until the school returns. And it's just a matter of notifying people so that they can plan for that. This year, it was just a matter of getting them used to it and a matter of planning. In some districts, when you can't give them the paycheck, you mail it to them. In other districts, you know, you just wait till the school comes back. So we've been working with some of these issues. Now, I will tell you that I didn't choose the calendar that's before you. Okay? I didn't choose that. What I did do is make sure that there was a process by which everybody got heard. Okay? And they know, they all know, and they've been told by both Mike and Mary that this isn't final, that the board would have input to it, that we would get back to them in terms of the way you see it, because we all see it from different perspectives. So if they thought that you were going to disregard their opinion, they would have been here.
Well, I know that would stun many of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're really not going to be open the 25th of December.
I believe that's a holiday.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, when we say the district office is closed, you know, we only have the 28th through the 3rd down.
There's 3 days. Is that what you're saying?
No, that week.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's going to be completely closed down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're really going to close down on December 25th or December 24th? So the 4th will be the last day anybody's here?
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some cleaning done, is that right?
Yes.
23rd.
23rd. Yeah, that's what I would think. So we should actually say that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than on our calendar,
right,
say the 28th
right.
to the 3rd, it's really going to be the 24th to the 3rd.
We
we're closed. No
that.
One's going to come
point.
In on the 24th and they can't pick up their paychecks and they can't, you know, run to the store and cash them and buy their mom a present or whatever.
Yes.
Not that I've ever done that. So
sounds familiar.
You know, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, we need to let people know.
No, absolutely.
23rd is the last day for them to do all those kind of administrative things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're completely closed.
Yep.
And we'll reflect that at the bottom.
But just to Ms. Shoemaker and to Mr. Cox's point, if the board wanted to tweak the holiday schedule and say, you know, we'd like to not have the kids come back and go into a week of testing, we'd have to give them the alternative of that, which we could give. Okay, you have to put those days somewhere. And if you take away, for example, the 3 weeks, I mean, the 3 days
It wouldn't be taken away anything. It would just, the end of the semester would be a week later.
Yeah, but there has to be so many instructional days, okay, and so many days that they're going to test, and so many professional development days, and so many holidays. And so all of that comes into play. So we would take your input, go back, and say, okay, there's a concern about this. Let's talk about it and see if we could figure it out with all stakeholder groups, because it has an impact. An example, I think, is easier with the Mr. Cox situation, where he's saying about the Thanksgiving. Those 3 days, okay, would have to, those 3 days of instruction have to be repaid somewhere on the calendar. Mm-hmm. Okay? So at the end of the day, the teachers work, everybody, their work year has to be based on what the contractual is. And I'm still saying to you today that if you wish to make changes, you can do so.
Is there anybody who would wish to make any changes?
I have to say I really am not comfortable with this the first semester ending when it's ending. I mean, for our students preparing for finals, I mean, this isn't quarter grades. These are semester grades, the most important testing and grades or transcripts. And I don't know if we see how it works. I'm not quite sure what the reasoning behind thinking that that was a good time to do this is.
I move that we table items 8 and 9 and instruct staff to meet again with our stakeholders and come back with an answer.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to explain, okay, that it's a board member's theory that that makes the finals more difficult for the kids.
Well,
and when the instructional people are saying it isn't. It isn't.
Well,
they're going to study during. They're going to study during.
First, we have to clear up the motion.
But I'm not hearing any reason why it's more convenient for it to be on the 15th. If somebody can answer that.
Yeah, I think I move that we table this items 8 and 9 and instruct staff to come back after discussing with the stakeholders
the issues around the
semester end and testing.
Is there a second to that?
I don't hear one.
Is there a motion on
really
the existing calendar?
What motion was on the floor?
No, the motion died. There was no second.
No one seconded anything.
There was a motion
no. So is there a motion on the calendar as presented?
I may ask one question.
Yes, Mr. Fuller.
Whether we put the first. All we're doing on the 15th is putting professional development, right?
Correct.
Right. So if the high school wants to move their ending semester to the 22nd, there's no reason why they can't move their semester into the 22nd and run professional development on the 15th, right?
Right. I mean, this is really just the high school that is affected
right.
by this.
So mm-hmm. everybody will be in professional development. If the high school decides this is, and maybe Ms. Shoemaker wants to hear this, then they can run it to the 22nd.
They could.
So then you have more days in the first semester than the second semester?
You could.
Testing.
You could.
It's 1 week of testing.
They're trying to get more instruction in before testing.
Really quickly, our student rep would like to give her opinion as a student who goes through the testing as to what she thinks of the schedule, if Ms. Polis.
Okay, well, to me personally, it's like when I came back from winter, it's like 2 weeks of winter break, and when I came back from winter break, not just speaking for myself, I could speak for the other students too, it's like it took us, we couldn't jump right back into school because we're in those 2 weeks we were very like out of school, so like coming back to school, we kind of had to like take it slowly, and this year we had 2 weeks, and then the third week from winter break, that was our finals, so we had like a So, I don't know, I just think that, like, coming back from winter break 2 weeks, and then jumping into, like, the first day of school, it's, like, automatic final study. It's kind of, like,
it's jarring.
It's a little bit intense. And maybe, like, the instructional, like, teachers say that it's not a problem, but as a student, like, personally, like, I think it might. But that's just my thing.
Then what about, and here's another idea, calendar number 2 that ended the semester on the 21st. I mean, and the only difference would be we'd change the holidays from the 15th to the 22nd. That was the only difference. And, we'll bring it back.
And the high school.
We can't bring it back. No, the motion to the table couldn't get a second, so
sorry.
Why would we bring it back?
Let me just say, that this is what we get when we have a lot of opinions and discussion. Okay? When you go to college, they hand you when you're having your test, and it's up to you to study and get your act together on the first day, and you hit the ground running. Okay? It's just part of the world that. It's part of the real world that there isn't really any good time. Teachers will say we want to teach more the first semester to get them ready. Okay? And you got to be a part of the full discussion to appreciate how hard it is for the different points of view to come together and agree on a calendar. And that's why I say I personally don't have any problem with any of these calendars. Okay? I think it's very important from a student standpoint, but I also have to tell you that teachers know how much materials they have to get in before, not your finals, but before the next, which is the standardized test. Okay? Because there's a lot of things happening. There's professional development, there are holidays, there's standardized tests happening, there's benchmark tests, and they're considering all that, not just the finals, not just second semester grades. They're considering the entire year of instruction and what you need to get in order to move to the next level. So I understand why, you and Ms. Shoemaker agree on that, because in the best of all worlds, given more time to, I've been partying during Christmas, I need to come back and get my act together. It's just the way it works. You got to get your act together on day one. There's no ands, ifs, and that's just the expectation that we have. There is no downtime for teachers, no downtime for kids. Yes, I would like to give it, but let me give an example. What is your feeling about starting school early August? Then people say to me, well, if we start early August, when does summer school start? There are issues as to start, end, and all the things that have to be put in between. So if you take your issue of just second semester grades, I can see your argument. But if you put that argument in all the other things that have to be considered, it becomes less of a priority.
So the stakeholders are fine with calendar 2.
No, three.
I understand calendar 3, but you said it wouldn't be a problem to go back to calendar 2.
Do you happen to know how many students were involved in these stakeholder meetings?
He knows the answer.
Wait, what do you mean?
How would she know the answer?
Well, she's our board member.
And
she's
so she
member.
Wasn't invited, so how would she know if there was any other students?
Why was she not invited?
Exactly.
Why was she not invited?
Well, because in
what do you mean?
Past practice, we don't have a student there. Okay, the teachers are told, and the principal, to go back and talk to people and bring their expressions back. Okay.
Would there be any reason we can't?
But there's no reason.
Calendar 2.
The dates are different for the holidays: the 8th and the 15th, as opposed to February 15th and 22nd.
I asked for. Do you want a moment?
Sure.
Steve has made the motion to move the calendar as presented, and that would be the calendar that's in our book. It would be 3. And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Passes 3-2.
3-2.
But I do think having input ahead of time from the board might be helpful, as seen by the next discussion.
I can see how helpful it's going to be. Thank you very much.
Yes, it'll be very helpful.
The adoption of the holiday schedule, it's...
I'll move the item.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes 5-0. Mr. Spence, you took off item number 10.
Yes, I did. In discussion with staff about items on B concerning reimbursements for mileage.
On what page?
On page B, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1 down. Apparently, through this process, found that there's amounts that are picked for reimbursement. I don't know quite how they're picked, but those that we're authorizing, we're not authorizing that amount, we're authorizing up to that amount. And I just think in the future, whatever amount is listed there should be the maximum possible, not just some maximum above that. And it turns out that, you know, in that particular case, that's maximum above what's possible. And so, you know, I think it should be our practice that if we approve orders like that, it shouldn't exceed what's possible. Because I think it gives a misleading impression about how much is being spent on items. I mean, I understand the need for you want a revolving PO and approval so you could just pay it every time. I understand that need from the business office. But I really think it should be the maximum that's possible, not an arbitrary amount that's above that.
The only caveat that I would put to that, and I agree because we found that out through the conversation that we had with you, is that if he has to go back, this individual has to go back for a professional development, that would add a different accounting. There's never going to be an absolute accurate just based on days one way, because he could be ill or he could be asked to come back. And so what we've done for the purpose of being able, this money does not get spent any other way except mileage for this individual. But it gives the staff the flexibility. Should a parent want to meet with him back at Hollandcrest and he's over at Edgewood, he's got to drive back. And so if we were exact to just put the amount only one way, we'd have to come back again and say, no, we have to add to it. So what their office asked us is for flexibility in an amount, because in that amount we won't exceed it, but it could be a time where he's going back and forth. May not happen every day. So to their best of their estimates, and we went back and checked with Joan and others, they thought that this was a good amount in case he has to go to a parent meeting or he has to do something else, that this was an accurate amount in that sense, a closer amount, not just counting him going one way.
So this just goes through this fiscal year, though?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right. And then we come back.
But this isn't the only item I assume this happens on.
Yeah, we did the research on that, and it basically is we have a few people in our district who have traveling. We have traveling teachers. We have a PE teacher who goes to a number of schools, and we do it the exact same way. We estimate not to exceed an amount based on not scientific, you know.
We also do that with other amounts then that we approve, too.
Oh, I think, you know, Mr. Frutos could tell you if there are others which amounts they are. But, yeah, there are times where there aren't exact numbers because life happens in between the time that you pass this and there are needs. And so what they've tried to do is build that. Otherwise, you'd be seeing this person's name every board meeting.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily mind that, then I know.
Mr. Cox.
I'll pick Mr. Solis out here, not to pick on him, but just to try to get understanding for the policy in that we don't pay for commuting. We just, so if it goes to Edgewood, what is the schedule?
Let me answer. Yes, we pay for commuting. Yes, we pay for commuting.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No. If his assignment is at two different sites, he gets paid mileage to go to the site.
Yeah, between work sites.
From work.
Yes,
not
yes. Okay. No, not from home.
To school.
No,
okay.
Correct.
And not from school to home. Or
no,
okay.
Correct.
So
no,
just
from
we're
school
on
to school.
So,
school.
So where does he?
Right.
So one so time. Does this, again, I'm just back. Using him only because I know that there's an issue going back and forth, but any individual, is it, so if he happens to start at, what, Edgewood first every day?
Mm-hmm.
And so then at the end of the, I mean, it doesn't go back and forth.
No.
You know, it's like
he
doesn't
no.
teach 1, 3,
no.
and 5,
no.
and 2, 4, 6.
No.
It's
no.
1, 2, 3, or
right, right.
4, 5, 6.
Correct.
So it's 1,
correct.
That, and
correct.
Then goes home. Is
yes.
Right?
But tomorrow, scenario, tomorrow he does his two classes at Hollandcrest, moves over to Edgewood, but he has a parent conference at Hollandcrest
mm-hmm.
after school. Mm-hmm. He's got to come back. Okay, so most days, yes, he's teaching his full load at one school, moving to the other school. We only pay him for that. We don't pay him to and from home. But there are days where he needs to go back for professional development at Hollandcrest or at Edgewood. So this is an estimate to allow for that flexibility.
Do we teach? Oh, no, they don't leave. If we have, I'll pass. Thank you.
Any further questions? Is there a motion on this item?
I move.
A second?
We'll second it. Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Is there any further board member discussion? Mr. Spence.
We're not going to have to issue any March letters to anybody?
Your question is, are we going to have to issue letters, meaning like March 15th layoff letters, yeah, or 45-day letters to... at this point in time, no. The answer is no, we are not going to have to do that. We are going to bring to the board, it's already scheduled, a budget update for the board as to how we are going to balance the budget. The board president has requested that for the next board meeting. And so we are prepared to both give you the interim report and the update that the board president has requested at the next meeting, which will show you that we are not going to have that need.
Okay. You know, this was one of my concerns, is that since we've really kind of refused to talk about it for 6 months, everything going on, and I have no doubt that we are probably the most fiscally conservative board in the whole state of California, but when you look at every other school district, they're having to make tough decisions like that. My concern is that, you know, by jamming this sort of towards the end, you know, what I don't want to have happen is suddenly we have to lop something off. You know, that affects kids when we could have planned and done something better over the last 6 months. I am kind of, I guess I'll see the budget presentation, but I don't know if we'll need to go back into closed session after that budget presentation and at least talk about things for the future. You know, again, while I just don't see how everything that's going on does not affect us. That's all.
Anything further? We will close at 8:25.